Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Good morning and welcome in to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Zagna, joined as always by 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting, Andrew Ivins. And he's been a very busy man the last couple of days, making his way through Alligator Alley to IMG Academy, braving the streets of Florida to watch a little ball and bring us his insight. Andrew Ivins, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I had to explain to you and producer Lance that alligators can cross the road and you can hit them at very high speeds. And it's a quite the scene when you come across it on the Alligator Alley.
Well, we also learned about Deer Key this morning.
Key deer.
Yeah. Another Florida term. Florida just seems like it's its own little country.
It is. Well, the keys try to become their own country at one point as well.
A lot going on in Florida. Big fan. I love Andrew every weekend. He's telling me something, whether he's getting pulled for jury duty or whether he's a witness to something, whatever it is. Andrew's in the mix. You're trying to live up to the Florida man mentality.
There was like a plane crash, like a single prop plane crashed in Broward County yesterday too. I saw that all over in social media. Just wild times.
A lot of stuff going on in football, too. I don't know how to transition from that, but we'll talk about IMG. Had its annual spring inter-squad scrimmage, Andrew, on Wednesday night. You were there. Close to 40 different colleges in attendance. Ohio State, Brian Hartline, Larry Johnson, Texas in the house. Tashard Choice, Bo Davis, Oklahoma there as well. Todd Bates, Bill Biedenbaugh, Miami, Alex Mirabal, Tim Harris, and you can't forget Georgia, back-to-back national championships. Stacey Searles, Fran Brown, both there in attendance as well, and I'm sure many others. Drew, as you wrote here in your great rundown on 247sports.com, 20-play, full-contact scrimmage, 30-minute warm-up period as well. Andrew, we're going to get into it. We're going to dive into it player by player. But overall, your initial impressions of what you saw in Bradenton, Florida last night?
Saw some dudes, right? You know, we're trying to find like the top of the top talent in this class. I think the term I use, you know, there's not a lot of like certified stamped dudes out there. And you see David Stone, the 5-star defensive lineman, kind of have his way against a offensive line that features a bunch of FBS and Power 5 guys. And it's clear, I think he's one of the top talents in the country, right? One of the guys we feel the best about. He was the alpha dog, if you want to call it. I didn't really do top performers, but when I was driving home, someone texted me, hey, who's the dude at IMG? And I was like, all right, like I do think people care about that. Like who's the guy this year? And it's clear it's David Stone. He kind of had his way. I thought he looked a little bit bigger, but maybe that's because he was in pads, right? The last time I saw him was IMG's Pro Day, and we've seen him on the camp circuit. But he's good, and a lot of those schools on the sidelines were there to see him. And I mean, this was, I guess, my second spring scrimmage slash jamboree of the eval period. But I've been kind of hearing, just working the back channels, that schools like aren't really sending as many they aren't prioritizing these type of games like they used to. It's more of going to practices. So I thought it was notable that there was that many college coaches on the sidelines.
Probably get more from a live rep standpoint in terms of what you get at practice, and you know, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you get to see the pads pop a little bit more. I mean, I think in these settings, generally, you don't know what's going to happen. Ellis Robinson, the 5-star, top 5 player in the country, he was sidelined, did not participate in the scrimmage. David Stone, Andrew, I think you were able to shake loose some breadcrumbs of information on what his summer might look like in terms of official visits and potentially when a commitment date could come.
Yeah, I was a shadow in the media scrum, right? I mean, there was a ton of reporters there for various team sites, but I had to send some audio off to people inside the network. And David Stone, man, he did his best to keep a poker face and not reveal any of his visits, but I'm a smart guy, and I caught him slipping up a few different times. It sounds like he's going to be at Oklahoma, I think, the second weekend of June, or maybe it's the third weekend. Miami the first weekend. Florida the first weekend, Miami the second, and then likely Oregon. And he also said Wisconsin's in there, Texas A&M's in there. A bunch of schools are fighting to get him on campus. Oklahoma's the crystal ball leader, right? He's a kid from Oklahoma. When we had Colin Kennedy on the podcast, he mentioned how many visits the kid, how much time the kid has spent in Norman. I mean, hard to get a read on which way he's leaning. Sounds like he, whenever he feels like the time is right, he's going to make a commitment. I just came out of there finding it interesting. And Coop, I want to know if you agree with this, that like Dan Lanning and Oregon are in this thing.
They're in the mix. I mean, they're in the mix. As it pertains to David Stone, it seems like they're in the mix for a handful of prospects nationally, especially at the point of attack. And they did a good job last year, but I think it was more West Coast focused. And now going into year two, I think now that they've had time to establish themselves, get their feet under them, it's not surprising those relationships kind of take hold a little bit. You got Tosh Lupoi up there, who is a relentless recruiter. So David Stone, Dylan Stewart, some of these more national recruitments where I think, you know, especially when you start thinking about these IMG transplants, to me, those guys aren't as tied in geographically, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I don't know if Bud Elliott kind of first hypothesized this, but I do think it's true. Usually, if a kid comes from a different part of the country and arrives at Bradenton IMG Academy, which is, you know, just sold for, what was it, $1.2 billion or was it 2.1? Like, those kids will tend to return and sign with a school in their home region, right? Like, where they're kind of from. And I think you're taking a 15, 16, 17-year-old, right? You're pulling them away, putting them in a college environment. So it makes sense that they want to kind of go back towards home, right? They're missing their junior and senior years of high school. At IMG, they kind of live in dorms. I mean, I don't think it's that great of a student experience. So I if Oregon was able to pull David Stone, I think that would be quite the statement, just because like Oklahoma seems like the layup, if that makes sense.
I think it's notable they're in there because it seems to me that, you know, people, I don't want to say people forget, but I think it's a good reminder how well that Oregon closed last year. A lot of big recruitments. Some, they were on the other side of it. Nicholas Harbor was one that went down to the wire between Oregon and South Carolina. The other one was Peyton Bowen, where it looked like the Ducks had that one secured. He ends up at Oklahoma. And then Roderick Pleasant, between USC and Oregon, he ends up signing with the Ducks. So that was really their big one. And then Young Concrete, Mateo Yu, right? Another big one for Dan Lanning and the Ducks. So if you're Oregon, I think all you can do right now is just hang around, get them on campus, win football games, and try to ride the wave of momentum. And then hopefully you're still knocking on the door when it comes time. Yeah. And I think Dan Lanning understands, and he understands the importance of just keeping the back door cracked.
One more school that I think, I don't know. I mean, I've interviewed David Stone a lot, been in part of these media scrums, but they aren't talked about in the recruitment, and maybe they really are an outsider, but it's Wisconsin. And, you know, I think his uncle's played basketball there. I don't have his profile pulled up in front of me. He attended games there as a kid. He told me after the game that his mom loves Wisconsin. I think that's obviously because of the family ties, but I tried to ask David, like, hey, is it different now that Luke Fickell is there? Like, has the pitch changed and anything? And I don't think he really understood the question, but I'd be interested to see if they ever got a visit, right? Because I think Luke Fickell and that staff involved in that recruitment would make Wisconsin much more attractive.
I mean, when was the last time Wisconsin was involved with this high profile of a player from this region?
Well, the other thing too is, you know, I think Wisconsin, it's kind of like Iowa. They target a certain type of individual. And I had an Iowa coach tell me this recently. Like, we want the guy that has the code to the weight room memorized. And I'm not saying David Stone's not that individual, but they're looking kind of for the blue collar, not the high profile recruitment, right? The guy that wants to come in and work. And David Stone is... his recruitment is not that, right? I mean, he can't even tell us where he's taking an official visit in June, unless you pry it away from him.
But there's an area of growth that still needs to take place for Wisconsin. And what I mean by that is, like, Luke Fickell has one of the best player development track records in all of college football, especially 2 years ago, when they have 9 players drafted at University of Cincinnati. He's done an exceptional job there. So I would not be surprised to see Wisconsin kind of throw their name and more of these recruitments just to try to get involved and maybe take inventory of the response that they're getting. But I think they need to do this because I think it's important, because I would not be surprised if Wisconsin's a team that's surprising people in the fall. And they're ahead of schedule. And we said by year two, I mean, this is a team that we fully expect to compete in the Big Ten. He's a phenomenal coach. I mean, I'm all in on him. So I think all he's ever done is kind of exceeded expectations. So be interesting. I think we'll start hearing Wisconsin's name a little bit more. Andrew, another name that seems to be making the rounds here, especially on the defensive line board, Jaden Jackson. You know, you kind of mentioned that, sure, there are a lot of eyes on David Stone, one of the best players in the country, number one ranked defensive lineman. Or, excuse me, not number two ranked defensive lineman according to the top 247. But Jaden Jackson, I mean, he's got the likes of Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Miami, a bunch of schools that we talked about were there in person. What was your takeaway on just seeing him live?
Second, I mean, well, I guess I saw him last season. Saw him at the pro day. I mean, he's a two-gap player that has a naturally low center of gravity, has the leg drive. And I mean, you noticed his jersey, you noticed that long flowing poly hair coming out of the helmet, right? He made an impact, and I don't know if it's the market for that type of player, right? I think a lot of schools are looking for those guys that can play on the inside, can clog up running lanes, allow running backs to run free. And from what I've gathered, all 5 of those schools that you mentioned, and Steve Wiltfong has brought this up as well, like, they covet Jaden Jackson. I heard some chatter that he's, you know, top of the board for Texas and Bo Davis, who was there. And I think what kind of the X factor with Jaden Jackson is this is a kid who, you know, isn't all about like the photo shoots and, you know, all that other stuff. I talk with the coaches at IMG and he's kind of like one of the team leaders, and those guys emerge every year at IMG. It's obviously a revolving door of talent. Jordan Hall, the linebacker that went to Michigan last year, he was kind of that voice of the defense. But I think Jaden Jackson is kind of the dude that a lot of people in that locker room look to. And he's got a unique story of Samoan descent, grew up in Utah, moved to Indianapolis, started his prep career off at Ben Davis there, played. I think he was kind of getting some all-state recognition. I think he actually played a lot, some offensive line too. Now he's at IMG Academy. I think he's going to take official visits to all five of those schools, and I think he's going to make a commitment, and I think he's going to be done, right? I don't think it's a kid that's going to waver back and forth. And my theory is, in the current landscape of college football, you can find that type of individual. It's a lot more attractive, right? It's a lot more attractive to go all in on that guy early on, try to get him committed, and then invest your time and resources elsewhere.
I think that's a pretty interesting nugget because, you know, you talk about, all right, this is a guy who's not kind of interested in the extracurricular of everything recruiting is today in today's society. I mean, for coaches to hear that, see that in terms of the intangibles, I mean, that will drive a guy's stock up the board in a hurry because that player is one in every 10, right? He's the minority in today's game.
If you were running a recruiting department, right, your coach called you, told you that, I mean, how would you react? Like, you'd be okay, yes.
Well, all things equal, right? It depends on the talent level of the player. But I know, like, hey, if we got three or four guys that we're trying to figure out and differentiate which one we're going to take at the same position, and that's a standalone quality that just that player has, absolutely, because now you're talking about what's between the ears and the intangibles of the player. And to me, I think that really sets the floor of the player. Chris Peterson used to say all the time that he believes talent sets the floor. I love Chris Peterson. I kind of disagree with him there. I think it's character. I think the character of the player sets the floor, and then the talent ultimately at the end of the day is going to set the ceiling. But in the case of a guy like Jaden Jackson, to me it was like Caleb Downs and Justice Haynes. We had so much conviction in those two players because they were professionals. You know, both those guys had bloodlines. Justice Haynes' dad played in the NFL. Caleb Downs' family just surrounded by it, right, his entire life. So when you have guys like that, it just makes it so much easier to say, give me the player that is not going to give me headaches. And I know, like, these little things in terms of, like, timeliness, maturity, being a positive force in the locker room, not being a locker room lawyer, those things add up. So obviously you want to make sure that you're acquiring the talent. But yeah, if you're checking all the other boxes, it makes it quite an easy decision, which, Andrew, we talked about the lack of big bodies, right, at the defensive line position. I think we're going through that right now as we try to reorganize the top 247. So yeah, if you have a player with the combination of everything you want off the field, I think it makes it evident that that guy's going to be a priority for a handful of programs.
Yeah, someone people are going to stand on the table for, right?
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the 247 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, I'm pretty excited to talk about this next guy, Jordan Seaton. By way of Washington, D.C., we have him ranked as the number 149th player in the country, the number 6 interior offensive lineman. Drew, 6'5", 290, estimated. That's kind of what he is hovering around at right now. You sent a picture last night before the scrimmage even started. I could not believe that is him. It seems like he has gone through a total body transformation since he's gotten IMG. That's on like the same scale of like Jaheim Otis at Alabama. He looked the part, and I actually really liked the tape.
Yeah. And it is a it's a down year for, I think, offensive. I mean, I don't think it's a down year for offensive linemen, right? And I was talking to college coaches that recruit the offensive line, and they agreed with me last night on the sidelines talking about how the 2023 cycle was way better than this 2024 cycle. So you show up to IMG Academy, Jordan Seaton. This was the first time we've seen him there. And Seaton's a kid I saw at the FBU All-American Bowl, saw him at Baltimore Under Armour camp 2 years ago, saw him in his season opener as a junior when he was at St. John's, played at St. Thomas Aquinas. He did, and then when I saw him last night, did not look like the same individual at all. He aced the eye test, eye catcher, whatever you want to call it. He has leaned out. We don't have the measurements, but he is 6'5", and he looks athletic. He moved well. He got into his stance, got out of his stance. As they were kind of doing like the one-on-ones, you know, during warmups. I mean, it was a collection of who's who offensive coaches. I saw a few camcorders out there. So Georgia had Stacy Searles with the camcord, you know, getting the live reps. It looked pretty dated. Couldn't pull the number off it, but he was videoing it. Seaton started. He got the nod at left tackle, which is notable. I mean, he's new there. You have Jimothy Lewis, another offensive lineman who can play some tackle. I thought maybe he would be the team's left tackle, but no, it was Jordan Seaton. And I'm excited about him, right? And I think a lot of schools are. I think he's a guy that's probably, as coaches go out and make the rounds and check people out, he is someone that's going to be pushed up a lot of recruiting boards around the country, and I think for good reason.
Quick twitch, explosive. You see it on tape. I think the biggest question you had on tape is just the body type. It was a little bit sloppy. And like you said, I mean, once you kind of sent that text last night, I was like, I cannot believe that's him. I mean, lean, muscular frame.
He looks like a college lineman, does he not?
He does. And it's funny because you told us a story about how you asked him, like, hey, how'd you lose that weight?
I don't know if he was being serious, man. I was like, Jordan, the last time I saw you, I mean, you were not, well, he claims he's around 285 pounds. I'm like, what'd you do? And he looks me dead in the eyes and he says, I ate one meal a day and I ran a mile every morning. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, number one, I don't know if that's really, like, really healthy. So I was like intermittent fasting? Like, is that what you were doing? And he kind of nodded his head. I was like, what was the meal? And he's like, oh, fried rice. And I'm like, I don't, like, know if that's kind of the proper nutrition either. But whatever he did has worked. And I try to pry some recruiting information out of him. Sounds like Alabama and Georgia could get official visits here in June. He said he's going to take two of them. And then he also brought up Miami, Florida as well. He really likes how Florida has their offensive line coaching situation set up, you know, with the two coaches. I'm sure Florida's probably being like, hey, Osiris Torrance, man, you know, we did it with him. And Osiris Torrance, what was he, like 360 coming out of high school? So we'll see. We right now we have Seton listed as an interior lineman. I guess we got to go back and kind of find some measurements, but he's probably someone that I think could be a swing tackle, right? Probably could play multiple spots in that starting five.
The other name you brought up, Jimothy Lewis, originally from Mississippi. Andrew, he's one of those guys right now. You turn on the tape, you see the flashes, you see the physical traits, you see what's in his body. And in a down year at the tackle position, he leaves you wanting more a little bit.
Yeah.
And we got him right now slotted middle of the third round, number 83 player in the country, number 6 offensive tackle. These guys scare me a little bit. And it's not to say that Jimothy Lewis won't be a good player. I mean, you see it on tape. You just wonder from a consistency standpoint, can that light bulb come on this upcoming season? Now, did you see, I know you kind of, you talked about it briefly, but, you know, are you hopeful that, you know, this is a guy that can put it all together in his senior season?
Oh, I think he still needs time. I think the frame, the lateral movements are certainly attractive, but he wasn't part of the initial starting lineup, which I think is it's spring football, right? I mean, you read into that however you want, but he didn't really get a ton of run last year at IMG, which makes sense. I mean, they had more quote unquote dudes, Francis Mauigoa, or as all the IMG kids call him, CeCe. I kept having to remember that that's what they call Mauigoa. They had some other guys. So, I mean, I think he's going to be, someone's going to take him. I just think he's going to need some time for sure.
He's a fascinating one as we reorder and reorganize the top 247, Jimothy Lewis. And Andrew, I feel like you'll probably be back at IMG at some point during the season, I would imagine.
Yeah, they got a pretty loaded schedule. I mean, I'm sure they've told me who they play, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Everyone wants a piece of IMG, though.
Drew, sticking with 2024 before we move above and beyond, Jarrett Gibson, the top running back, according to the top 247 right now. We don't have a running back included currently in the top 32. As of right now, going through that position, I'd have a hard time seeing one emerge as a potential five-star candidate. But Drew, limited exposure, 3 touches, 25-plus yards for Jarrett Gibson. Anything to take away there?
He looks more physically developed, like he's added some body armor in the upper half. The highlight of the night for him was kind of took a run up the middle, bounced off a tackle, and then dragged defenders, probably a gang of defenders, about 6-7 yards. You know, it's just hard. It's been a hard evaluation on Jarek because IMG rotates these running backs. And last season, I mean, he did not get a ton of burn, right? He did not get a ton of mileage and usage. I think we like him. Is he the number one running back in the country? I don't know. I think there's some other guys out there that are challenging for that pole position. But, you know, he did catch a pass out of the backfield. And I think the ability to catch the football is something you got to note with him, with Jarrett Gibson. And he's pretty explosive. On the recruiting front, I asked him about his visits. He initially left one of those top five schools off. I can't remember which one it was, but going to get to Tennessee, going to get to Texas. Deshard Choice was there, the running backs coach who developed Bijan Robinson, got Cedric Baxter there. He was in attendance. Georgia's also in there. We mentioned they had the coaches, Tennessee, and then Florida. So it's Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, and Miami. Miami's also going to get a visit. And I think he wants to announce here in this summer at some point.
The other back, I mean, just judging from your writing, I'm getting to know your writing style pretty well here, but it seems like the guy that you're most excited about in this entire article, 2025 running back, Anthony Rogers.
Well, I talk with the college coaches, right, or with the IMG coaches. I mean, I know them, and I think he got the start at running back. IMG has had a lot of notable ball carriers come through that program. Catron Allen, Noah Cain, Trey Sanders. That's just off the top of my head. I mean, there's probably plenty of more. And the staff there seems to like him a lot. And he's on the smaller side, but he can go and he can find some green grass. So it'll be fun to see what he looks like this season. I mean, 20-25 play scrimmage. You know, there's not a lot of flow to it, and they're rotating guys in and out. I mean, but yeah, I mean, they feel good about him. They don't really stamp prospects like that. I mean, it's not a ton of bullshit when you kind of ask the right people, but they made it seem like he was the best all spring for them in camp.
Drew, you and I talked about making a promise to each other to try to make these shows a little bit shorter. So we're going to rapid fire here. We got a little bit of an NFL legacy in the picture. 2025 top 247 linebacker Nathaniel Owosu-Boateng. Right brother, pronunciation?
Yeah. Brother played at Notre Dame, now with the Cleveland Browns. Second round pick, or was he a first round pick?
Was not a first round pick, I believe. I'm not even sure if he went round two.
No.
I'll double check on that, but you keep talking.
He's another new face at IMG Academy, comes from Dematha Catholic. We put him very high in the rankings. I think we all liked him, didn't have a ton of information on him, which is the case with a lot of the rising juniors, but his sophomore cut up, his sophomore tape is primarily him just rushing off the edge. So it was encouraging to see him play more of an off-ball linebacker role. You know, he's got a ton of range. He's probably 6'2". And he's probably 205, 210 pounds. He's not a big dude, but there are definite homes for these type of guys that can match up and run. So, encouraging, you know, feedback to see him do that. IMG also, those coaches talking him up a bunch, and a guy that has a ton of options already. Just visited Miami, Notre Dame's in there. Wouldn't give me much outside of that. I was like, you know, where do you want to visit? Oh, I want to visit everywhere that wants me to visit. I'm like, okay. So I really have no idea what direction that recruitment's going, but he was at Miami and he is talking to Notre Dame.
He's aware that there is no cap on official visits anymore.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
You know, it was interesting because I also hit up Clearwater Academy International, which is, I'm going to write a story about them. It's kind of like a mini IMG, right? All the international kids go there. You had Isaiah Hastings two cycles ago. You had Lucas Simmons last year. Now you have Jason Zamandela and a bunch of other guys. And I was in a meeting room with them and just kind of picking the brains of recruits. And, you know, like, some of those kids at this point in the process, like, I don't think they're really thinking about taking 15 official visits or whatnot. I think a lot of these guys are kind of down to four or five schools. They want to take their visits and then they want to be over with it. Now, there are some kids out there that you ask about the unlimited official visits and their eyes light up. And it seems like they could take 8, 9, 10. I don't know who the first recruit that's going to be able to do it. And I'm really interested to see how colleges handle that. We talked about that on the last on the last podcast.
Maybe it's how these big companies kind of view unlimited vacation. At the end of the day, their employees don't take as much vacation as if they had, hey, you got 2 to 3 weeks off. So they end up saving money in the long run. I'm not going to give the NCAA that much credit, you know, but.
Okay. Another, you're running a recruiting department. I mean, if you're a kid's 9th official visit, are you going to be fired up about that?
It's all circumstantial, right? But at the same time, like, what do we always say, Andrew? Recruits tell you who they are. You just got to listen. If you're on your 9th OV, that's telling me something. You know, we talk about this recruiting process and the way that it is now, and it's like, you know, you got to do what you got to do or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So, yep.
All right, a couple more here. Jaden Bradford, who I got to see at the Elite 11 Atlanta Regional and somehow left out of my article. Rookie move. I'm glad that you kind of picked up the slack on that, but he had a really solid day. South Carolina transplant, went 6-7 in the scrimmage, 61 yards. He also had an INT. Drew, I'm not shocked, but the schools in consideration, Cincinnati, Syracuse, UAB, FAU, I mean, it seems about right. But, I mean, if you're UAB, FAU, Syracuse, Cincinnati, he seems like he'd be a really value add.
I agree. I think the knock on him is he's, you know, how tall is he, right? He's like, he's under 6'1".
And he doesn't have this physically mature frame.
Right. But he can run the football. I don't know if you've how much exposure you've had to him. He can run the football. I thought he was dialed in. I mean, he can throw a tight, accurate spiral. I mean, he can hit his marks. So I don't know if schools are going to pivot to him. He was linked to South Carolina early on. He was linked to Penn State early on. Both those schools seems like they've gone in other directions, but if I'm him, I'd probably wait this thing out and see how the dominoes fall and then have a really big senior season and parlay that into a spot somewhere. Syracuse and Cincinnati would both be fun fits. And then UAB, Trent Dilfer is now there, right? Mr. Dilfer. I mean, you want to go learn from him. So we'll see.
He's got a Super Bowl to his name for sure. All right. Winston Watkins, Colorado commit, 2025. Interested to see what you think about him. Another guy that, Drew, I think you and I are just trying to figure out. Jonathan Echols.
Yeah. Well, let's start with Echols. This same scrimmage last year, he was playing defense, edge rusher. He had like 3 sacks. And I came out of that and I was like, this is the guy. You know, he's long. He's got a monster wingspan. His three-cone L drill is like, I want to say it's like sub 7. I mean, it's an elite time. And those are kind of the key markers for young edge players. And then he's just continues to bill himself as a tight end and took a little like out route where they schemed it up, play action, and catch and run for 20 yards. That was probably one of the best plays I've seen him make on offense, and I've had a ton of exposure to him. I don't see the tight end with him. I don't see it. He doesn't feel like the other tight ends that Tennessee has brought in. Ethan Davis, they just got the kid from England, recently as well. So we'll see. Interested to see what happens in that recruitment. Now, like, there's a ton of clay to mold, to steal a term from you, but I mean, isn't kind of an entry level blocker, you know, and you would like to see more production. I'm not saying that's a huge indicator for the tight end position, but you know, it's like, why isn't he more involved?
I mean, this was a guy you and I thought was one of the best athletes in the country.
I know. It's like, what happened?
He either got some bad advice or there's people enabling him to play a position that long-term doesn't serve his best interest. I mean, you come off a performance where you had 3 sacks. You have all that in your body. You're a prototypical 3-4 stand-up edge. and then you're going to move to the offensive side of the ball?
Well, when he was a freshman, he did play some quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. He is by far one of the most interesting evaluations in this 24 cycle.
I hope they sit him down when he gets to Knoxville and say, this is the way it's going to go. You're playing defense. Anyway, Jarae Hawkins, transplant from West Virginia, 10.37 in the 100-meter dash. Drew, we talked about you were a little concerned whether or not he'd actually be Florida fast.
Yeah, I said him at the pro day. I'm like, I can't remember our conversation.
He didn't like that.
Yeah, something about like, oh, he's like, I'm fast. I'm like, well, you know, the kids in Florida are fast too, and I think he's proceeded to like win a few track meets. He's kind of a gadget guy. I mean, he's 5'10". Heard him tell a certain wide receiver coach on the sidelines that he's 165 pounds. It might be a little embellished. Someone you're gonna have to scheme touches up to. They try to get him the ball on some drag routes and whatnot. And I mean, IMG's defense is obviously fast, so he wasn't really able to spring one free. I know you watched him. He's kind of like a gadget guy, right?
Well, I think you said it. I had a day three grade on him, which means he would have been more than likely outside of the top 150. I think he is dynamic. He's dynamic in space. The verified speed shows up in his play speed. He's a little bit slight. I do think there's more there than what we've seen. But I like the player. I mean, I think you can get him involved heavily in the return game, special teams wise. And I think from a utility standpoint, like you said, you're going to have to find ways to get him some touches because he is undersized.
I think if he can run a deep route, and I don't really know based on last night, like if he can beat a corner and a safety on a post, then I absolutely get it. And give you that element, but right, at a high degree. And on with him, official visit set to Florida and Penn State here in the month of June.
All right, let's round it out. 2026, Amari Jones, defensive back. Drew, kind of caught your eye there. And then Dylan Worthen, 2025, edge rusher.
Yeah, two young players. I mean, we don't have to talk much about them at all. Amari Jones, is going to be a name to know, right? He'll be at IMG for a few years, long kid. He's the one that picked off Bradford. And then Dylan Worthen, you know, I have coaching contacts, and I was texting a few of them. I'm like, I don't know if this guy's going to go to a top 25 program, but he's got something as an edge player. So certain schools, I was saying, hey, definitely take a look at him because you might have a chance at him, right? You know, I don't think you want your entire edge room to be under 6'3", but if you got one guy, you can make it work.
Drew, how are we feeling about the – tell the people how we're feeling about the 2024 top 247 update.
it's coming together. I mean, do you feel like it's a down cycle?
100%. It's not about us at all. It's fascinating. I wish we had a way of being able to explain it. I guess, I mean, it is our job, but it's like, I think that people see the rankings as so black and white, the general audience on it. And you look at our top five right now, we got Rayola at the top. And Andrew, I'm not going to speak for us as a whole. I'll speak for me individually. You know, I've noted some of my concerns about Rayola being on his third program in 3 years. Somebody asked me a really interesting question. Where would he fit in last year's arms?
Well, what'd you say?
I didn't answer it. I needed some more time to think. I think it was Blair who said, Blair definitely went on the record and said, hey, you know, I would take Rayola in terms of
Arch. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's not even really far-fetched when it comes to the physical clay and makeup. But when we're talking about this position, there's so much more that goes into it. So in terms of where he would fit, it's hard, man. I honestly don't know. I mean, there's so many other guys, Dante Moore, Jackson Arnold, that I just feel strongly about. And then Rayola with the clay. I don't want to say it's a roll of the dice, but it's a little bit more of a calculated risk, right?
Yeah, but you also got a senior season of Jackson Arnold, you know, much further along.
I'm not
along
even talking about – I mean, it's not even – I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm not even really that concerned about the talent makeup or the physical clay. It's just – I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to say there. But anyway, Jeremiah Smith at number two, right? We're convicted on him. Williams Nwaneri. How do you say the last name? Nwaneri?
Nwaneri. I don't know. They said it on the college football recruiting show different than I had heard it, and I'm assuming that's the right way, and it's Nwaneri, just like you said it.
Nwaneri. Who we like physically, we love him. 12 sacks last season. You can see him put it together. Three. It's like, yeah, it's a little bit high. Ellis Robinson at four. What you're looking for, a prototypical corner. Sammy Brown at five, which is high for a linebacker. Last time we had one there, it was Harold Perkins. He's been an elite playmaker in his first season. I guess what I'm saying is somebody has to go in these spots. And it's not as black and white as saying, hey, these guys are the top five players in the country, but somebody's got to go. That's kind of how I feel about the top 10 in general. Like some of the guys we have in the top 10, I like them more in the teens, right? Closer to 20 than I would have them at top 10. But at the end of the day, somebody has to go in those slots. And the guys that we're betting on are the guys with the athletic upside and potential that have also showed it on the field.
Good way to put it.
Anyway.
My laptop's dying, so.
All right, let's get you out of here. 45 minutes. We said we wanted 30. I don't think we're capable of doing it. But that's all right. Guys, make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Megaphone. I don't even know who listens on Megaphone, but Megaphone, shout out. Also, leave a review. Make sure to rate the show as well. Andrew, any last words before we get you out of here?
No, I got nothing.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, guys, for producer Lance Glenn, Andrew Ivins, I'm Cooper Patagno. We will see you next week. And guess what? I think I only got one show in me next week, Drew.
Big day's coming.
Going to the chapel, baby. Going to the chapel. Let's go. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.